First of all, I want to say a word just to my wife. There's my glasses. I've been missing a pair of glasses for some time. Obviously, the last time I spoke from up here, I left them up here. Okay, enough for the business part of it. Turn with me, please, for a very short verse that you don't even need to turn to. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's it. That's the sum total of what I want to start with this morning. First of all, let me tell you that as an assembly, we're going to start in the book of Genesis beginning next week. And we're going to start with a study of the various characters and individuals and their lives, how they can apply to you and to me. Each week, we will study one of these individuals. We'll start with God, and you'll see why that's important in a minute. And then we'll continue with Adam and Eve, then Cain and Abel, etc., etc. If we're on schedule and if all goes well, we hope to finish that in the month of November. In the beginning was the Word. That's contrary to the way the Genesis starts, isn't it? No? First of all, in the beginning was God. It's not contrary to the way Genesis starts, and we'll look into that more in detail later on. The idea and the concept that is portrayed in the first book, or in John chapter 1, in verse 1, seems a little unusual. In the beginning was the Word, and in your Bible, I'm sure, it's capitalized. Now, in the English language, and I can yield to my British friends here who claim the language, a word that is capitalized is generally a noun, a direct noun. So, but we have a different concept. If I just said to you, what does word mean, you would probably not think of it as a title. You would not think of it as a name. So, did somebody misprint? Or, what does word mean? Well, word is what I speak to you so that you can examine and comprehend the concepts that I want to get across. So, what is it? In the beginning was the Word. I think it's both. And we'll see that in a few moments. A word is a unit of speech. But then, if the word is a unit of speech, and if that's what he meant, how does that compare with in the beginning, God created in Genesis chapter 1. The person that's being spoken of here is no mystery to any of us, I'm sure. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. John is going to go on and reveal Christ and who he is and why he was here on this earth. In the four Gospels, each one presents some idea of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's not new to you either. It's a concept you're very familiar with. In Matthew, starting in verse 1 and chapter 1, we have the genealogy of a king. And that's the way the Lord Jesus is presented throughout the book of Matthew. Starting that genealogy with Abraham, continuing it on with the first, with the king, King David. The genealogy of the Lord is given. In Mark, we have no genealogy, because in Mark, the Lord Jesus is presented as a servant. And a servant basically had no genealogy to be reported on. So in the book of Mark, there is no genealogy that's given. In Luke, we have the genealogy of a man and the details of his birth. In fact, it takes from chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 52 in Luke to describe the genealogy of the Lord Jesus as a man. Now, John presents the Lord Jesus in a different aspect, in a different light. He presents him as a divine being. He presents him as the one who was come as the Son of God. And so when he starts this out, he starts his genealogy out trying to communicate how the Lord Jesus Christ is related to God. And he starts it out by saying, "In the beginning was the Word." I've already said it. This is going to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to have both aspects as a name, as a title. And we'll see that elsewhere in the scripture, the Lord Jesus is given the title, the Word, and what it can mean. And it's also a phraseology, a word, a unit of speech whereby we express just exactly what the relationship is between God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and me. So it will be as a unit of speech. But now let's go on and read the rest of that verse for a moment. "And the Word was with God." So the Lord Jesus Christ started, quote unquote, being with the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was God. So when we say the Word was with God, that seems redundant, because the Lord Jesus Christ was God. I mean, that's what the verse says. The Lord Jesus Christ was God. Turn with me back for a moment to a verse that you, like me, maybe I've read over very quickly and not necessarily always apprehended it. In Revelation chapter 19, when he is speaking of the second coming of Christ in glory. Verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Skip down to verse 13. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." In the end, at the second coming of our Lord, we have here that he still wore and was called the Word of God. You see, he wants to communicate to you and I some of the things about God. So he is the Word of God. He wants to tell us about God. But he is also the title, the Word of God. And so we have here that he is called the Word of God. Turn with me, please, then also to John chapter 17 and reading at verse 5. We're going to be looking at a few verses today because I think we are not unfamiliar with these verses, but we haven't always perhaps looked at them in the vein that we want to look at them today. The Lord is praying, the prayer of intercession. "And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Before the world was. The glory that I had with thee in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Turn over for another portion to Hebrews. Hebrews, the first chapter. And reading at verse 2. Well, let's start at verse 1 for the sake of connection. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." So we see how God has worked. But we also read that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think a lot of times we look at this and we think, when we see the word God in the scripture, that it's referring to what we commonly call the God, the Father. But I believe, in fact, there's many ways that the God who is the Father, the God who is the Son, the God who is the Holy Spirit, spoke to us in various ways, and he used the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He, God, has spoken to us through His Son. Now this means He has spoken to us by the life, by the record, by His Word, by His Son, using His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the world. In the beginning, God created. But this says, He made the world also by His Son. You see, the two are inseparable. The two are together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So, God the Son didn't come about at the beginning of the world. He wasn't something made or used or created just for the world, and we'll see that in a moment. Reading on, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person upholdeth all things by the word of His power. God the Son, when He has by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And after He left this scene below, and we'll read this a little later in Philippians, He was made to sit down at the right hand of the Father. He was made to fulfill the purposes that the Father had for Him in the right hand of the Majesty on high. In verse 8, but unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Oops. Thy throne, O God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, when He's talking the Father to the Son, He calls Him God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness, the scepter is the scepter of Thy kingdom. But to down in verse 13, but to which of the angels said He at any time, sit Thou at My right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstools? Are they not all ministering servants, spirits, and sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? God was here upon this earth. He came to this earth. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And we're told that He would reign forever and ever. He was here before creation as the Son of God. He now is going to be here and part of God and part of heaven forever and forever. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. First book of John, chapter 5, and reading at verse 20. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him That is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. What are the next words? This is the true God and eternal life. So, this is the true God. And we know of his beginning. We know of his life. In Philippians chapter 2, several verses that we're very familiar with, we start to get a little bit more of this picture. When Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," that is, he already was there. He already was with him. He was already in the form of God. He already shared with God the knowledge, the experience. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped after, to be equal with God. In the beginning, where is that? Where is the beginning? He was with God, and he was God. And so therefore he thought it not robbery, not something that he had to attain, not something to be grasped after, to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He didn't live just on that reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. That's the servant that we see spoken of in the book of Mark. And it's the servant that we know of as being our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to be made a little lower than the angels, who was willing to do what the Father wanted him to do. But that didn't make him any the less God, that he was with God. And he was God. We see that he also was made in the likeness of man. You know, I've always felt that there were two steps in the descent of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. One is he was made in the likeness of man. He was made a baby. He was born in a manger. He walked upon this scene in the likeness of man. He took upon himself a body. Not just a body at 22, ready to go with vim and vigor. He took upon himself a body in a womb. In the womb of the Virgin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it says, and being found in the fashion of man. That's one thing, to be born in the likeness of man, to look like a man, to act like a man, to speak like a man. But he was actually in the likeness of man. Men looked upon him and they didn't say, "Oh, there goes God. He's really God." No. They looked upon him and they said, "Who is this guy? He's the son of a carpenter. He's the one, I mean, we've known him all his life and we've seen him. He's just like a man. He's fashioned just like a man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But he was a man. And we see that in Luke, and we see that in Mark, and we see that throughout the Gospels, as you have a record of his life, how that he was a man. And you know, that's kind of who John is writing this Gospel to. That's kind of who John is addressing these first few verses, to those people, the Gnostics, that didn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man. They believed that. But he wasn't God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. And John's trying to prove that to these people when he writes his book of the Gospel. You know, that Gospel was written, some say 100 AD, 50 or 60 years after the Lord's death. Most of the apostles and disciples that were around the Lord have passed from this scene. John has written the book of Revelation. He has seen this being in the future. He has seen the prophecies that he has handed to you and me. And now he is trying to prove to those around him that this one, this man, was really God. He was really one and the true God himself. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. A portion that we've just recently studied. Ephesians chapter 3, reading at verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. This is a mystery. How can this be? Mankind can look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he cannot understand that he was, in fact, God. It was hid because their concept, their thoughts, was either he's a man or he's God. And so, our brother Rocky, I believe it was, mentioned to us amongst the mysteries that this was a mystery to mankind, which from the beginning of the world, now here's a beginning, from the beginning of the world hath hid, or been hid, in God, who created all the world, all these things, through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church and the manifold witness of God. You see, those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have accepted that Christ is God. But this is a mystery, and it is a mystery, and it's still a mystery to those in the world who know him not, and they don't understand him. You know, Christ didn't start in Bethlehem. Christ didn't start at the resurrection. Christ didn't start when he became his the ministering spirit that spoke to men in the general. We can see that Christ was in the beginning. He was in the beginning when the world was formed. He was. He was in the beginning before the world was formed. He was. So that in the beginning, and our concept of the beginning can only probably go back, if that, as far as Christ, as far as creation, I'm sorry. But John says, in the beginning was the Word. He has always been there with God the Father. He has always been a part of the Father, even as this verse tells us. And so now we can see this mystery. Therefore, God has used him not only as a title, the Word, but God has used him to fully express himself to mankind, as we've just read, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has said, "Ye have seen not seen the Father, but you have seen me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The two are one. The two are together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Christ is the one from the beginning. He not only has a title, as we read of in Revelation, the Word, but he also is the expression of God. And we can learn more about who God really is by studying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read our text again. Let's read it from the first verse to the fifth verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing, not anything, made that was made. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So we see here that he came from all eternity, before the beginning. He came before our minds can settle back. He was not separated from God. He has a distinct personality, and yet he is a real person that lived with God. He is not just an idea, not just a person. He is with God. The Word was God. Not a God, not God-like. The Word was God. You know, the Bible teaches us, and we're starting to run out of time, the Bible teaches us that there are three in the Godhead. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. And they all have their distinct role. They all have their distinct objectives that they were to accomplish in the grand plan of God. So it is that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who even though he took upon himself the form of a man, didn't portray or didn't in any way belittle his role as God, but he fulfilled the plan that God, he had helped to make. As I said before, Christ didn't start in Bethlehem. He's without beginning, as we read. He's without end, as we saw in Revelation. He is always with God. But he has a particular place now and throughout all eternity. He's been sat at the throne of the right hand of God the Father. They're together still. They're working still. The Word was with God. And so it is that as we study these things, it says that all things were made by him. You know, he was not created. Man, the angels, and all these things that were created, the heavens, the visible, the invisible, things that we can look upon were created, but he was not created. He was with God. He was God. And it behooves us to understand his holy position, his holy responsibility, and who it is we're dealing with when we go to him in prayer. Might we, each one, as we look at these things, be reminded of who it is that we're praying to, who it is we're talking to, who it is that upholds us, even as he did the rest of the world, or does the rest of the world, by the word of his power. Next week, as we start in Genesis, the first words that our brother is going to speak will be, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It's my hope, prayer, that you will have a little different way of looking at that verse and what it means by knowing that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Shall we look to him for a moment of prayer? Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we can come before thee as our Father, as the Son of God, and through the Holy Spirit. We thank thee, our Father, that thy word is very plain. Truly, Jesus Christ was not just a man, not just someone who started in Bethlehem or at the resurrection, but our Father, who was with thee from an eternity past, was with thee in the beginning, and will be with thee through all eternity to come. Guide us, Father. Help us to fully appreciate thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Thank you.